Ocean FM's Agri Week with John Lynch.
Hello and welcome along to the first edition of Agri Week for 2021. Coming up on the show, in fisheries, we have learned this week that four extra ports have been designated for Donegal. This will enable international vessels to operate from. And we'll hear the views of the Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Charlie McConlogue, on this. We'll also hear opposition views from Donegal Independent TD, Thomas Pringle. A leading local farm official in the Northwest is calling for an All-Ireland Sheep Health Cert to address the large shortage of breeding stock that's expected in Northern Ireland after Brexit. Kevin Comiskey will join us a little bit later to discuss this matter. And also we'll hear from the IFA chairperson in Sligo, who has called on the government not to forget farmers when it comes to support measures for agriculture after the Brexit agreement was reached on Christmas Eve. Kathleen Henry will join us towards the end of the show this evening. So plenty to come. Please stay with us.
Ocean FM's Agri Week with John Lynch.
Well, let's start with fisheries this evening, and four extra ports have been designated in Donegal for international vessels to operate from. The ports will be operational from the beginning of February and will enable fishermen with UK registered vessels to land their catch in Killybegs, Greencastle, Burnporth and Rathmullen. As a result of the initial Brexit deal, Killybegs was the only designated port in Donegal for UK registered boats. Now, the Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Charlie McConlogue, confirmed the news earlier this week. The Donegal TD says these moves should help to ease some of the logistical challenges that fishermen are facing at present.
Yeah, well, following on from Brexit, unfortunately, there's been significant changes and disruption, and one of those is the change of status to ports or to boats that are registered in Northern Ireland. And the challenge, additional challenges in relation to them being able to land into Republic of Ireland ports. It required the designation of additional ports to be able to facilitate them. They do, going forward, have to land into ports that are designated for third country landings and have an international designation. So I have now finalised arrangements working with my department and with the SFPA that will mean from this day fortnight, from the 1st of February, additional ports in Donegal, such as Bortonport, Rathmullen and Greencastle, will be designated for access from Monday to Fridays from 2 to 8 p.m. and also have further designated Rosseville and Galway and Howth on the east coast outside Dublin to go alongside with the previous designations of Killybegs and Castletown Bear. So I hope that this accommodation will mean that for those boats that they will be able to operate, but there is no getting away from the fact that in terms of the administration and red tape around requirements on them, that has changed irrevocably as a result of Brexit, but certainly in relation to what is within my own capacity, which is the designation of some additional ports, I have now finalised that working with the SFPA, so that from the 1st of February there will be seven ports designated nationally, four of them in Donegal as opposed to the two nationally previous to this.
And indeed, a large number of vessels would be impacted here, those vessels that would be operating out of Irish ports and many out of Donegal ports, but at the same time are UK registered.
Yeah, there is. It's small in numbers, estimated maybe just 30 to 40 nationally that are affected by this. But it's certainly for those that are impacted, it has significant impact in relation to their capacity to continue with their livelihoods. So I have been liaising with the fishers over the last period of time and taken on board the impact it was having on them, and have now made this change and these additional designations. That does require additional resources and capacity of the state, particularly through the SFPA, who have worked closely with in relation to making these arrangements. And unfortunately, there will be additional red tape and administrative burden on these boats into the future. But certainly, prior to making this designation today, the boats weren't able to operate out of any Irish ports apart from Killybegs and Castletown Bear. So thankfully now, there will be four in Donegal and seven nationally, which will be able to accommodate these fishermen to be able to continue with their fishing activities activity into the future.
And this also clears up a number of logistical challenges that the fishermen would be facing on a daily basis, and some of these vessels might not be exactly suitable for travelling long distances in open seas. So the fact that they now have more ports of a local nature certainly is a huge practical help to them as they continue to face difficult and challenging circumstances.
Yeah, well, a lot of the boats would have been small in nature, so they wouldn't have the capacity to be steaming significant distances in order to access ports, and obviously there have been safety arrangements and simply practicality arrangements as to whether they would have made that impossible. So it was important that for them to be able to continue, that there was a reasonable spread of ports that they could access. So now with four in Donegal and along with Galway, Cork and Howth and Dublin, which takes into account the pattern of these types of landings as well. About half of the landings nationally would happen in Donegal from Northern Irish registered vessels. So I think this is a reasonable accommodation. But there does remain challenges which can't be got away from as a result of what happened with regard to Brexit, that does require additional daily administrative requirements on these boats now. But certainly I think as Minister, I had the capacity in terms of looking to designate additional ports and in order to facilitate fishermen as best they can, and I'm glad to have been able to do that.
Ocean FM's Agri Week, number one in the Northwest for farming matters.
Well, let's stay with that port story, and another DD in Donegal has welcomed a decision that we heard there from Minister McConnellogue to designate more third country ports in the Northwest. However, he's also criticised the fact that it has taken until now for more ports to be registered for this particular purpose. Independent TD in Donegal, Thomas Pringle, had urged the government to designate a number of ports and around the Irish coast to facilitate Irish fishermen who operate UK registered vessels. Speaking earlier to AgriWeek, Deputy Pringle outlined the importance of third country ports and questioned why it has taken so long to designate the extra ports in Donegal and indeed further afield.
There is a number of vessels and that will be owned by Donegal people and operated by Donegal people out of Donegal ports that are UK registered vessels. Now, when the UK was in the European Union, that wasn't a problem because under EU law, vessels of any member state can land in any port at all and within the Union. So that wouldn't have been a problem. But because of since Brexit has taken place, these vessels now are restricted to what's called third country ports, which up until this morning would have been basically Killybegs and Castletown Bear would have been the only ports in Ireland that they would be entitled to land in, which are very serious and dangerous implications as well, I think, for a lot of fishermen operating these vessels, because a lot of them would be operating smaller vessels, maybe single operator vessels and stuff like that there. And as things stand at the moment, up until this morning, they would have had to go and land their fish in Killybegs, which would mean that a boat would have to travel around from Inishowen, from Greencastle, right around to Killybegs to land fish, which was totally impractical and also dangerous as well.
But also there'd be a huge cost element there as well in relation to fuel being used. But the most pressing concern would really be the whole issue of health and safety.
If it was an emergency situation, that they could land, but in terms of their day-to-day operation, they would have had to use Killybegs, and it would mean that they would had no choice. And a lot of these boats wouldn't be fit for the open sea. And if you can imagine, from a few days of steam from Inishowen around to Killybegs in the middle of winter, that's quite a severe journey, and you need a very capable vessel to be able to do that. And they simply hadn't got these vessels. So this is under EU law, which is really intuitive. It's hard to fathom that the situation should even have arisen. Surely the Department of the Marine, the SFPA and the government should have been in tune to what was happening in terms of fishing within the Brexit negotiations, and should have been ready to go with the designation of additional ports right at the point when Brexit happened.
Obviously, for those involved in the industry, this is something that they would have very much raised a red flag around this particular issue. And therefore, it will come as a major surprise to many that perhaps it wasn't nailed down in the negotiations, that something like this would have been ready to go from the beginning of 2020.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that wouldn't have been part of the Brexit negotiations, but it would have been a direct implication of what of Brexit taking place. Now, we've all known that Brexit is going to happen, at least for the last year, but definitely as the negotiations on Brexit itself have been taking place for 3 years. So it's hard to fathom that the government couldn't have looked at this at any stage over the last 3 years and said, look, we need to do something with this here. It's just it's mind-boggling. You know, and sadly, that's been the case with the Department of the Marine and the fishing industry for many, many years, that they're always reactive and they're always playing catch-up, and they're not working with the industry or on behalf of the industry either.
This has highlighted that there's a lot of anomalies taking place in the industry at the moment. For instance, you've highlighted as well a case in Galway where frozen fish have to be brought from there into Derry or into Killybeg. So again, it's far from a practical solution. From your dealings with those involved in the fisheries industry, and since the whole Brexit deal was signed off more or less, or agreed upon at least in principle, on Christmas Eve, there must be an awful lot of frustration here, because the worst fears for fishermen were that the industry would be thrown under the bus, for the want of a better description, due to the fact that everybody wanted to get a deal across the line, and it seemed that fisheries was very much sacrificed in order to achieve this.
Yeah, and that is the case, and the fisheries has been sacrificed, and what's even more galling for the fishermen, but unfortunately, I knew this would happen, is that the European fishermen have looked after themselves and shafted Irish fishermen as well. You know, we have the case where French fishermen are entitled to fish right into the UK, not 10-mile limit area under their deals, and the impact on French quota and what they have had to give up is only around about 7%, whereas Ireland has had to give up over 15% of its quota, of its national quota, which amounts to actually 24% of the macro quota, which is of huge significance for Donegal. And I believe that will make an awful lot of the macro vessels unviable, and it will have a huge impact on the crews and on the people working and dependent on the factories in Killybegs for their income.
Finally, Deputy Pringle, that's something I hear being mentioned in relation to fisheries time and time again, that the industry is now no longer viable. Bearing that in mind, and if the worst were to happen here, talk to me or quantify, if you can, in some way, the financial impact, the impact on jobs, and indeed the impact on the local economy in Donegal if the industry that so much is dependent upon is let almost filter out to an inevitable decline, it seems.
Yeah, unfortunately, the fishing industry has declined significantly over the last number of years because of EU quota restrictions. And I have to say as well, it's because of modernisation within the fish processing factories, where the amount of employment has been reduced significantly in the last number of years. But the reality is that the macro and fishing would be worth probably around about €200 million a year to Ireland, and the vast majority of that would be in Donegal, and that is going to be impacted hugely. Now, I think there's also an opportunity here if the government have the guts to do it, but I don't think they will have. But the opportunity is that Ireland should be going to Europe and fighting for an actual fair share of the fishing allocation to make sure that the west coast of Ireland can survive. But unfortunately, because of what has happened historically here, the Irish government won't do that. The Department of the Marine won't do that. And unfortunately, the fishing industry has been happy to tie itself in with the European fishing industry, where they have shafted them again.
Ocean FM's Agri Week, where farmers across the Northwest have their say.
Now let's move on to something completely different, and a leading farm official in the Northwest is calling for an All-Ireland Sheep Health Certificate to be issued. Leitrim farmer and IFA official Kevin Comiskey says given the fact that Brexit has resulted in a border being placed in the Irish Sea, it will leave a shortage of breeding stock in Northern Ireland. Now heretofore, Northern Ireland farmers used to source up to 150,000 sheep annually in other parts of the UK. Mr. Comiskey says this will create an opportunity now for them to come south to source these sheep instead. He says that if the department here and their counterparts in Northern Ireland work together to make this happen, it will benefit not alone sheep farmers, but also the welfare of animals.
This is something I've been looking at there. I've been contacted and I've been reading things, articles with the NFU and different things, and indeed a couple of years ago when we visited England, the IFA National Sheep Committee, it was something I raised. But it is, I see it as an opportunity for farmers in the south here to grasp that these breeding stock, especially farmers in Northern Ireland, was going across to Scotland, into the UK and that mainland as well to source their breeding stock. And they'd leave them there maybe and get them cleared and get them into Northern Ireland. Up to 15,000, maybe more, that's just a rough estimate if that's there. So it's a good opportunity if we, the department and Northern Ireland officials and politicians work together. I think it's a brilliant opportunity for them to come south across from Donegal, right across to Mayo and across the western seaboard and right across the border region. It would be advantageous to farmers selling breeding stock.
What could be done here now maybe to streamline this and have it as fluent as possible?
Well, if the two departments work together, it's basically an animal health certificate for scrapie issues and everything. And what they can do is, we are an island, so the border is in the Irish Sea. So there's no, you know, look at, we have the waters flowing across the border in the rivers and the fishes up and down and birds is crossing the border, you know, so there's no problem. I see that we couldn't have an All-Ireland certificate with a bit of willpower from our politicians and the department officials to do it. You know, to work out the certificate that you have it, indeed for sheep and for cattle and, you know, all animals. You know, it'll be a huge advantage and it'll be there for all, you know, as I say, all animals could have it and farmers could trade freely up and down across the border.
And it's something that could work both ways, obviously for goods going from north to south, but equally, would you see it working as well from goods going from the south of Ireland to the north?
Of course it would, yeah. If farmers could go from the south and they could go down to Northern Ireland and be it any sort of sheep or indeed, as I said, any sort of animals, beef or that, if they wanted to trade them, you know, it would work both ways. But I see it as a particular opportunity there for the breeding stock in the sheep sector, that there will be a need and a call for them. Like 15,000 in Northern Ireland in the six counties is a huge number of sheep, and that could be increased, you know, if they did come south into, you know, looking for their breeding stock and you know, every customer that you get, and we often seen it down through the years, especially where I'd be talking from here, Manor Hamilton, Dowra, Drumshambo, Mearts, you know, Carrigallen, different Mearts, even Bohol, you'd see when the customers would come up from Northern Ireland, when they were able to buy, you know, cattle or weanlings or sheep or that, when they had come with the sterling in their pocket, they were very hard to stop them and there were great advantage along the ringside. You know, if it was only one or two of them, they made a huge difference to the trade on the day. Mm. And that's what we need.
Ocean FM's Agri Week with John Lynch.
Finally for this week, the Sligo chairperson of the IFA is urging the government not to forget farmers when it comes to support measures after the Brexit agreement was reached on Christmas Eve. Kathleen Henry, of course, is the Sligo chairperson of the IFA, and she's made the calls, adding that a number of farmers, particularly those situated in this region and across the border, are definitely being impacted negatively. She says farmers are facing many new challenges and extra costs are sure to be laid on them as a result of Brexit. Let's take a listen now to that interview. In a count of 5, 4, 3, 2 and 1. Final take on 5, 4, 3, 2 and 1. Sligo IFA Chair Kathleen Henry, obviously since Brexit has come in, there's been a lot of reading of the document, there's been a lot of studying of it, and as a result there's been calls for various supports for many industries, including fisheries, particularly in the northwest. However, you feel that the agricultural sector will be severely impacted here as well, and when it comes to putting support packages together, the farmers must be remembered.
Oh yes, absolutely, John. Like, I know the Christmas Eve agreements, like, it's good news, I suppose, to a certain extent, in the sense that there's certainty there. However, we do not know what's in the finer details. And I know it avoids the immediate tariffs and quotas, but like, there's still an awful lot of uncertainty out there for farmers at the moment, as we don't really know what its potential impact is going to be on farmers. And I suppose, particularly here in the Northwest, we're more liable to it because, like, there's a lot of cross-border, we'd say, and milk going across the borders, even feedstuffs, etc., even cattle going across the border. So we don't know how those exact impacts is going to affect on those various trades that takes place normally and regularly by just driving across an invisible border. I suppose it will help the farmers in the short term, But I guess the minister needs to be and has to have in place a proper support package in case that the farmers' livelihoods will be disrupted or could be disrupted in the coming weeks. We need to make sure that any funds that's there, I suppose Enterprise Ireland has a fund, I believe, in place, that that's going to be distributed to farmers as well as to other businesses, because at the end of the day, a farm is a business for many families as it provides their livelihood and puts their food and all their necessities in their into their livelihoods and into their families. Like, we cannot know what's to come, but hopefully when we do need help, or if we do need help, that the government and Minister McConnell, seeing as he's from Donegal, will be there and ready to help us out in any ways as he can, because he, better than anyone, will know what the disruption is going to be like for the farmers in this area due to any Brexit disruption that may take place.
And when we look at the farming that goes on predominantly in the northwest, obviously quite a lot of beef farming, suckler farming as well, and indeed mountainous sheep regions, again, are all areas that you feel could be impacted negatively by this particular agreement.
Yes, absolutely. Due to the fact like that there is a lot of cross-border trade there in relation to cattle going to the north and in relation to sheep going to the north, because like we do provide good quality animals and livestock, so naturally the border is within our hinterland and they are transported across to many farmers in the north. Similarly with milk, a lot of the milk comes from the north, comes up to be processed here with Arrivo, who's a big employer in this area, and we don't have any negative effects on their business either, because again that will impact not just on farmers' livelihoods but on the several jobs that is built on the back of there being a successful milk business in this area.
And that's about it from this edition of AgriWeek. Thank you very much indeed for the pleasure of your company. Don't forget, we're back again, same time, same place, next week. From John Lynch and all of us on AgriWeek, bye-bye for now.